I'm not sure if you've ever had one of those days or weeks where you everything seems jumbled. That's what it's been since Friday in my house. Jana went and got four wisdom teeth removed in Saskatoon, and she's looking very chipmunkish, and something's not. She's not doing too well, and yesterday Mona and I were actually on our way to Medicine Hat, and we were called back about 15 minutes later by Danae saying, Jana threw up, and it's on the stairs. But what she didn't say, it was on the stairs and on the walls, and like it was everywhere. And she was not apparently willing to clean it up, so we came home and didn't see that one coming. And so that's where she is today. So if you think of her, that wasn't the first time, and there was many times last night that happened. So Mona is there with her. In fact, it's so bad that Jana was laying on the couch, and Mona was laying there with her. And Jana says, "Mona, can I hold your mom? Can I hold your hand?" And if you know Jana, that ain't Jana. And so it's usually a no touchy to Jana. So. She's feeling a little under the weather. And so I'm coming into this and I'm thinking, trying to keep things straight and thinking of other things. So I'm a little jumbled. But, let's pray to start and then we'll straighten out and forget all about that. Dear God, I'm so thankful for our day today. I thank you that you have given us, this moment in time where you have placed us here. I thank you for every single body they've placed here, that you did it on purpose. And I pray that you would, work in our hearts, the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts to allow us to listen and understand and come to you with a humble heart. Amen. This week, I just want to give you a little preview of what we've talked about the last few weeks, just in case you missed last week or the week before. Typically, the audio goes up there on the website, and I apologize because last week it didn't due to whatever. Gremlins in the computer, probably. I'm not sure exactly what happens. Little green things. But it didn't. So then, I said, well, I did it once. I can do it again. So I stood here on Wednesday night and no one was here and I did it again. And unfortunately, after my computer's working, which was the mic, the fan kicks in. And so I didn't notice it then, but when I listened to it later, it sounded like I was speaking in one of the big vent ductings. It was just a whirring noise and you could barely hear me. It's like, oh man, spent time here doing that. Didn't work. So then what did I do? I couldn't figure out what to do with that. I said, I'm going to have to do it again. So Friday night, I found the quietest place on the face of the earth is in my truck. So I took my truck and I parked it in the parking lot somewhere in a quiet street and took my tablet and I preached to the windshield. And so it's going to be up there this week if you're interested in having it. So the first time and the second time and the third time were not all the same. In fact, I think there's new stories in the third time that weren't in the first time. So I don't write every single thing down, but here we go. We've talked about membership this last 2 weeks because we want to, a long time ago we decided we were going to, about a year I guess, we wanted to revisit the idea of membership because we thought that it was somewhat ineffective. And so when we started looking at that, we created a team that would look at this, a membership review team, and we sat down and we talked a lot about things, and then that team made a presentation to the elder team. And so as elders, we looked at that and we took things under some recommendation, and we're going to make a proposal here to you today near the end. But in the meantime, one of the things that review team, those people there did was that they said, we need to teach to membership more often. They need to hear this from the pulpit. They need to hear about these things. And so this is part of it. And not only is this part of it, but Bob and Darren, the things that we've talked about the last 2 weeks, you know, there's no reason why you can't inject membership into everything. And so you're going to hear it all the time. And Darren's nodding and we're good to go. And so this is the life of our church and we should be hearing this all the time. On the first week, we talked about the basis of our faith, about our identity in Jesus Christ. We went through who we are, and we are sinners saved by grace, and only Jesus Christ who came into this world, into this earth, can come and change who we are and give us eternal life. And that's amazing. And I hesitate to just say that in two sentences because it's a bigger story than that. It's more amazing than that, and we need to pause sometimes. But I have things to talk about. So that's where we're going to leave it stand. But I asked everyone then, what if this were true? What if we really believe that this is true? Like every little part, like the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, decided that Chad was worth enough to send his own son to die on the cross. To die on the cross. We say those words a lot, but we chew on them. To die on the cross. Then we tried to answer that question in relation to ourselves last week and our relationship to God and how that affects how we do life personally. What does it mean to pursue a relationship with God? It means digging into God's word. He's given us this beautiful, wonderful gift. We are emboldened to do that, to dig into his word. Now we're going to ask the question, if the gospel is true, then how do I relate to the fellow believers? You people, how do you relate to one another? How do I relate to you? How do you relate to me? What is this thing we're doing here? I think we should start by reading God's word. And we're going to go to John 17, if you want to turn your Bibles. The passage I'm reading in John 17, if you go right before this, Jesus is in a place where he's talking to his disciples. If you look in your Bible and it has red lettering for whenever Jesus is talking, those pages in there, it's just all red. It's just Jesus talking. And Jesus is praying for his disciples. And then he comes to the point, I mean, let's think of his time in his life. It's almost over. His life as a human being here on earth, the first time, is almost done. He knows what's coming. And he's saying to his disciples, this is what you need to know. These are the important things. This is when we look at this, we say, God's saying, these are things you're going to encounter. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. And then he goes on, and it's in a unique place in the Bible where God is like speaking directly to us, to the people who the disciples are going to preach to. And that is John 17, 20 to 26. I found these words are very, very relevant to us today. Try to stay with it. There's a lot of repetition. It's almost like Paul going on and on, but let's go. Now, Jesus is in the middle of a prayer for the disciples. And then he says, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so the Lord may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire those you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them and will make it known so the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. I read a passage like this and it uses the same words over and over. One, it uses the word in me and you in them and it puts it all together and I'm like, by the time I'm done reading the passage, my mind is like, blah. You know, I don't know what's going where and who's going what and all that stuff. But I found, as I study this a little bit, there are a few passages that if we can understand them better, it helps us to understand all of it a little bit more. One of the passages is verse 21. We could put that up on the screen now, guys. Verse 21. Or not. Find one that says verse 21 there. Is that the first one? If it is, then I'm way out of whack and we're just going to have to. I think maybe. You know what? We're going to wing it. Okay? That's what we got to do. Verse 21. Turn your Bibles to verse 21. If you're not there, please do. It says, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. Jesus is saying, may us as the church be one as Jesus is one with the Father. Now, I'm not going to go into a big discussion on what the Trinity is, but I do want to talk a little bit about God and Jesus's relationship. They were one. Now, what does that oneness mean? Where can we go in the Bible to learn about the oneness between Jesus and God? Well, we can go to where we should always go, and that's the gospel. There is a relationship between them, and the Holy Spirit is involved there too. There's a relationship between those three that has total trust. God knew that if Jesus came to earth, Jesus would fulfill the purpose that God sent him. And Jesus knew that if God sent him to earth, God will fulfill the purpose that God intended. That's trust to me. That's a whole lot of trust. There was a relationship there that blows my mind. I think I haven't even got an idea of the oneness relationship that is between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's something that God, I've heard it said that the reason why God made man was to give the opportunity for someone else to enjoy the relationships that were in the Trinity, because it's so awesome. And so if we look at that and we say, what does that relationship look like? May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. What does that all look like? They know one another and they know it deeply and they trust one another. In fact, I would say there's a certain vulnerability there. But it's not being vulnerable at all. Because they can totally trust in the character of one another. And they don't have to wonder, Jesus didn't have to say, I'm going to die. Am I going to be raised from the dead? Like, is that going to happen? Not sure. Didn't have to wonder that at all. That relationship was full of total trust. I try to compare that to my relationships. There are certain relationships that I have. Let's say I've never met a student before and he comes into my class. There's no trust there. Not yet. And over time, things build up and things happen and maybe I do something that's mean to him, or maybe he does something that's not very good, and there's a battle for trust. Is there going to be trust there or not? And you see it go one way, and sometimes you see it go the other way, and you hope not. Or I look at my relationship with my wife. Is there trust there? Yeah, there's trust there. But there's mostly definitely things that I wouldn't say to my wife that I would say to a good friend. Mostly about my wife. Right? Because I wouldn't be free to be able to say some of those things, because maybe there are things that I'm wrestling with in my life. And I want to say that to a friend. And I say, can you pray for me in this? You know, we're never going to achieve that oneness. But what if we could? What if we could within the church? Just this morning in Sunday school, we read in Colossians. And one of the passages said, Colossians 1:19 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus. God was pleased to have all his fullness. The fullness of God was in the fullness of Christ. That's one. And so what is God expecting? It seems a little too much. It seems a little too much that God would say, your relationship with one another needs to be the same as my relationship with the Father. Because it seems impossible. And I'll tell you, when you're alone, it is. When you're trying to do it all alone without the Holy Spirit in your life, it is impossible. It's totally impossible. The other verse that I want to look at is verse 23. And it says, I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved me. The word I want to focus on there is completely one. Again, what is it? What is the relationship of Jesus and God together? It's complete. May they be made completely one. He wants us to be totally and completely one. How is that possible? How is it possible for that to happen? I think there's a reason why we have become ineffective in doing that in our world. And I would suggest that there's not a lot of churches that do this well. And I would suggest that we need to work on this. But I think one of the biggest reasons why we don't do this well is something that was built on this country and the country to the south of us. Without it, we wouldn't have been able to survive. And that's independence. A fierce dedication to being independent. I went to church with a man in Regina when Mona and I lived there. And he was a geologist. He would talk about his job with the government involved, seeing where drainage would happen if you were going to put up a large facility like a pig barn or a feedlot or something like that, how that would affect the neighbors of where this was going to be. And after visiting with him about my past and where I came from, I grew up in a ranch, he said, you know, I could deal with farmers all day, but those ranchers, they are something else. He said, they're at a whole different place. There's such a fierce independence in their mind, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I know that. I'm Martins. Nobody can tell me what to do, right? It's part of what I had to grow up with, and it's part of what God's trying to tear apart in me right now. There's a fierce independence. That fierce independence says, I don't need anyone, and you can't tell me what to do. That is flying in the face of what God wants us here in church to do. How did it get this way? Well, I think it got this way because we've forgotten the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let's go back to two Sundays ago, where I could say, I am a sinner, and that is my identity until Jesus came and rescued me. Who rescued me? Jesus came and rescued me. Chad didn't rescue Chad. Chad is powerless. Even the good that Chad does is nothing. God rescued me. And so right away, I am not independent. I'm totally dependent. If you can't admit that you're a sinner in your heart, then you don't really need God. If you don't need God, then you don't need the church. This doesn't mean you don't come to church, but it does mean that you don't need the church. I would suggest we have a lot of people in our churches in North America and here at Bridgeway that come to church but don't need the church. Hey, I'm seeing it. That's what we're going for, Tim. All right, you can go to the next one. How's that? We don't need the church. We want the church. And we say we want the church and we come to church, but we're not opening ourselves up to one another. We want to be made completely one. If you're here and you don't want to be completely one with everyone else, and I don't know why you're here. Maybe you're in the wrong place. I'm not trying to chase you away. However, God, Jesus wants us to be completely one. And that means being vulnerable. That means trusting. That means forgiving. That means all of those things. But what if we really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? You admit you're a sinner. You need God's grace and Jesus' sacrifice. And you sit there in need of grace and in need of help. And Jesus saves you from yourself. And you start living for him. There's a story of a guy named Tom, let's call him. Tom's been married about 10 years. And he's discovering some things about his wife. Those things that were endearing, they're not endearing anymore. They're irritating. And so Tom is at work one day, and there's a new employee at his work, and it's a lady. And she's really nice, and she's attractive. And they go for lunch one time with a group. There's five of them there. Have a great time. She laughs at all his jokes, which is huge when you're someone who likes people laughing at your jokes. And pretty soon, he goes home, and the things that are irritating to him about his wife are progressively more irritating, and more irritating, and more irritating. And yet he goes to work, and he looks forward to going to work. And so he goes to work, and there's this other lady there. And she makes him feel good. And she's not at all irritating, like ever. And pretty soon, they're going out for lunch together. And pretty soon, there's a business meeting that two people need to go to. And so they go. Things happen on that business meeting that shouldn't happen. So he comes home, and he feels guilty. And he confesses to his wife. And everything blows up. They tell people at their church, and the church says, you need to confess to the church. And there are hard feelings, and people get hurt. Let me tell you a different story. But before I do, let me say this. A light bulb never burns out in a second. From the first time you're turning the light bulb on, it's wearing out. And it's going to burn out someday. You think it blows out in a second. You go flick the switch, it's on for a second, and pff, it's out. But in life, things happen. And it's a slow fade to all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where you didn't expect yourself to be. So here's the other story. It's a better one. Tom has been married 10 years. And those things in his wife that he found endearing at the start are now irritating. That doesn't go away. That part of the story is the same. If you've been married, you know that. But Tom's not alone. See, Tom's got a friend. And his friend is at church. And he goes and talks to his friend, Bill. And he says, Bill, you know what? I'm finding things about my wife that are very irritating. And Bill says, I think we need to pray about that. I think we need to pray. And so they pray. And Tom starts to read his Bible. And Tom and Bill, was his name Bill? Yeah, and Tom and Bill, they start to talk a little bit more, and they share with one another. And Tom finds it difficult sometimes to love his wife. But he starts to pray with her because Bill said, you need to pray with your wife. And so he does. And then one day, Tom says, you know, dear, I've been reading. Read this verse with me. And they start to read the Bible together. And there is no confessing to the church later. You know what it is? It's us as a church being one, being vulnerable with one another, having someone you can go to and say, you know what? I don't know if I'm the only one, but sometimes my wife irritates me. Or sometimes my kids push me right to the edge. Or sometimes I get trapped in this sin that I'm always trapped in, and I can't get out of it. See, we live in a world that says, I'm just going to do it all by myself, and nobody can tell me what to do. That's not the world that we're supposed to be living in. That world we're supposed to be living in says, I can trust you to be vulnerable with you, because you can trust me to be vulnerable with me. This all goes back to what we talked about first. Who are you? Tim, the next slide, please. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. If I have a friend in church and he is a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for my sins and has risen for my justification, who's baptized upon confession of faith, who was born again as a child of God through the Holy Spirit and is committed to God, to the Bible as God's word, then I know I can go to him. And if he's walking in the Holy Spirit, he can speak truth to me and I can trust him. But if I don't have anybody to go to, then what have I got? I just go tell him, and you know what he says to me? Yeah, my wife too. She's irritating me too. And you know what you end up doing? Gossiping about your wives. Yeah, that's helpful. I count on you being there. You need to count on each other being there. And that's why I started with that. Because that's where it all begins. If it doesn't begin there, it all falls apart. It's nothing. So I started with this. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray first. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm so thankful that you have put these people here in this place now, that we could come together and learn to be one with one another. I thank you that you are a perfect example of what oneness is. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts to be there for one another, to allow ourselves to be humble with one another, in order to open ourselves up to you and to each other, so that the light bulb doesn't burn out. Amen. So I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Next one, Tim, please. And I am committed to being a disciple of Jesus Christ by intentionally, and I have that list of things there. We talked about those last week. You'll probably notice, and what I've done is I've got the ushers to put one of these in your mailbox. And if you don't have one, we'll make sure you get one. If you don't have a mailbox and you're interested in having this, we can give that to you. So this will be all there. You can look at it later. But you'll see that the first one, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, leads directly into I am committed to being a disciple of Jesus Christ by intentionally doing these things. This is the do. We put the truth before what we have to do, the true before the do. And Tim, the next one, says, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm committed to being a member of Bridgeway Community Church by intentionally doing these things. By meeting with fellow believers. What does that look like? Well, we're doing it here. This is one of the things. We also did it this morning at 9:30. And we heard some great testimonies in Sunday school about people telling other people about Jesus Christ. And I felt totally encouraged to do that. And that was awesome. I also do it on Tuesdays after school. Andrew Judge and I get together every week. We're going through a book. That's what meeting with fellow believers is. It also happens around my kitchen table when I talk to my kids. And how was your day? These are my fellow believers right now. This is what it looks like. It doesn't have to be official. It can just be something. But you know what it has to be? Intentional. If it's not intentionally done, it doesn't happen. Consider others as more important than myself. I don't have to talk long about that. Relating to others with grace and truth. The words grace and truth struck me and hit me hard this summer when I began to go when I began to speak at Bible camp, at family camp, at West Bank. And Jesus was the epitome of grace and truth. And I hope Bob and Darren are talking about this. If they go through Acts, they're going to talk about all this stuff. And it's going to be good, so I'm not going to break it down too far. Using my gifts and abilities to make disciples, because that's our call. Jesus said, go make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Son, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit. That's the deal. And that's why I'm encouraged by what's going on in Sunday school there. And I encourage you to come. Following the mission and direction of Bridgeway Community Church. Bob and I, when we were thinking of that one, we said the whole idea was you're supposed to follow your leaders. But when your leader is standing up here and saying, you need to follow me, follow your leaders, it sounds a little pretentious. So we worded it that way. It sounds better, maybe. But following the mission and direction of Bridgeway Community Church, which our elder team is trying to steer us in that direction. Sharing my resources to support the ministry of Bridgeway Community Church. And the last one, being held accountable for the commitments I have made as a member. Probably that last one sums up a lot of the things that we've been talking about. Am I accountable? Last week, Thursday, Mona says to me, we're lying in bed, she says to me, what did you read in your Bible today? And you know what I had to say to her? Nothing. I didn't read it today. And I could come up with a whole lot of excuses. I was busy. I was doing this. I was doing that. I had lots to do. Was I working on a sermon? Yeah. But I wasn't digging into what God was trying to say to Chad. And so I said, can you read me what you read? And so she read me Psalm 50 and Psalm 52. And that was a good thing. Accountability happened there. Who is holding you accountable? I need both Mona and I need Andrew in my life. They're critical to ask me the hard questions. That's so important. I know that a couple years ago we began talking about governance changes. And so we've been doing this and it's been a bit of a long go. In the end, when we were all done all of that stuff and we hadn't talked about membership yet, something was missing, and this is it. This is the accountability structure we're talking about. This whole process has been about accountability, and how are you and I accountable as the membership of Bridgeway Community Church, as the people who believe the same thing? I hope you keep this in mind, all of these things that we've talked about. I'm going to present the proposal now. Tim, you can go to the next slide. These recommendations, the timeline for these recommendations is we plan on having question and answer sessions during Sunday school hour this fall sometime before Christmas, and then we want to vote on this at our annual meeting, among other things, to make some things more official. But one of the things that you'll notice that has changed, that we would like to change, is it says an annual renewal of membership at Bridgeway. We looked at a lot of different things as the membership review team, and we saw Richmond MB Church. Now, where was that? In Brandon, okay? And so they had done something similar to this. And what does it require? It requires, well, regular teaching on what membership means at Bridgeway. In fact, we right there in the room, we phoned Teresa's brother, who's part of that church, and we said, so how's this working? What are the things that are happening here? And he said, you know, we need, there's some things that we need to do a little bit better, and that's teaching towards it. And so I think that's critical. What does that mean for people who here are members already? Well, we recommend that we need to make this membership alive and real and in our faces a little bit more. And so what we're recommending is that every year, at a certain time, will speak specifically to it. Whoever it is going to do it. And they will speak directly to what it means to be a member. And we'll pass out the papers and we'll sign it. And say, Chad Martins is committed to being a member of Bridgeway Community Church this year. And we'll look at these things that I showed you earlier. All those three steps. And say, am I still? It would be like an anniversary where all of a sudden it's the first anniversary and you go out, and what do you think about? You think about the commitments that you've made already. This anniversary, and we sign it, and we move on and keep doing life as a church as we should be doing it. Annual renewal of membership at Bridgeway and regular teaching. Keep going, Tim, please. Baptism and membership at Bridgeway is preceded by a statement of faith. And transfer of membership is preceded by a statement of faith. We were given recommendations from the review team, the membership review team, gave it to the elders, but some of the things on the review team we couldn't come to a conclusion on. We said, do we want it to be every 3 years, or every 5 years, or every 1 year? And so then we said, well, we don't need to decide this. We'll send it to the elders. They're paid the big bucks. Or not. Anyway, so the elders decided that it would be 1 year. And we would also decide that there is some steps that need to happen. And that is a statement of faith. Now, what does that statement of faith look like, Tim, next? Statement of faith may be in the following forms: a verbal testimony, an interview, a bulletin insert, recording, something read by another. We didn't want to make a roadblock to becoming a member, but at the same time, one of the things that is necessary is that the people who are members find out about that person. What do you believe? There needs to be a process so that we can understand, so that we can be one. And so, this is what we came up with. Next, Tim. Regular implementation of membership testimonies in the corporate life of the church. This was a big one from the review team that we wanted to put in. We need to hear people's stories more. We really do. Last Sunday, we heard from 5 different people about what they're doing in their communities. I went home and thought to myself, what am I doing in my community? That's what happened to me. Them saying that holds me accountable for shining the light of Jesus Christ in the world around me. And I think that's awesome. So, I mean, this is coming down. If you say that you're a member of Bridgeway Community Church and you're studying your Bible on a regular basis, you should be able to answer the question, what is God saying to you this week? What is God saying to you this week? So next time Bob or someone comes up to you and asks you, what's God doing, and could you tell us a little about it? That's accountability. That's a good one. Now, nobody can tell me what to do. I don't read. Okay. Got to get rid of that independence. Then we have membership will be required for the following. So, for these positions, if you're on the elder team, you need to be a member. If you're on your ministry team, you need to be a member. And if you're an action team leader. We just felt that it was very, very important for the key leaders in our church to believe the same thing. And I would suggest that that's a hard one to argue with. These are the key leaders in our church. Are there other leaders underneath them? Yes. But the action team leaders have responsibility to look under them and make some decisions. Can this person handle this job? Or is this person, does this person believe the same things that we do in order to do this? And so that's up to them. The last one we have there is members in special circumstances will be dealt with in a case-by-case basis. You know, things are going to come up. There are people who are members here right now who can't attend because they're in the hospital, or they're in long-term care, or they're at home and can't leave. That's totally understandable. We're not going to say, okay, you're off the list. Done, done, done. We're going to look at those situations and we're going to have a conversation. And maybe the elders will go visit somebody and say, hey, this is what we're doing at Bridgeway. We want everybody to be one. And you're part of us. We don't see you much, but we would like you to be part of us. And we're going to pray for you. Could you pray for us? Maybe conversations like that happen. Or maybe your son or daughter goes off to Timbuktu, goes to school. We can have a conversation with them. Where are you attending church in Saskatoon? And I would encourage you to be involved in that church, to become a member, to become one with those people, because that's where you are. I have a daughter who's going off to school somewhere, I don't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's doing, but she's going somewhere. We're kicking her out. She's going somewhere. And that scares me a little. But one of the things that I tell her and I tell her friends, you need to be part of a body of believers somewhere. Because you can't do this alone. You're going to go into the university setting and they will hate you and what you believe. And you expect to come out of there unscathed, alone? It's not going to happen. So how can you become a member of a community where you are and go there? Well, I'm only there 1 year. Well, it might be a good year then. Let's get on it. Maybe that's a conversation we need to have. We're going to tackle that. You know, and there's awkward ones maybe. Maybe there are people who used to go here and don't anymore. In fact, don't attend church at all. And yet their name is on the list. Guess what? A conversation will happen. We'll talk to them. And we'll say, this is the direction of Bridgeway Community Church. This is where we're going. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we'll show them these things that we've talked about. And then we'll say to them, we would like to have you with us. Because this is good stuff. And we will have a chance to talk to them about Jesus Christ and what their life is like. And maybe, just maybe, they'll say, hey, I want to be involved in that again. I've forgotten Jesus. Maybe. But I don't think that we can go through the last 3 weeks and what we've talked about and say that things have to stay the same. I don't know what the final result will be. Maybe we'll have question and answer time and the elders will find that we need to tweak things a little bit and move things. That could be. We're prepared for that. But I do know that I don't think Bridgeway is doing this well enough yet. I don't think we are one enough yet. And we need to work on that. You need me. And I need you, and you need each other. Because this world is a tough place, and it's going to mess you up. You can't do it alone. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm so thankful that you have given us your Son to die on the cross, because otherwise there'd be no point in this at all. And I thank you for the hope that lies within me, and I pray that it would lie within the people here at Bridgeway. That we could be a light to the world by how we love one another. You have called us to that, and I pray that we would pursue that intentionally. In your name I pray. Amen.